And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard. Because we understand. It's just, at least we act on the fear. You know, that's where courage comes from. You know, it's not from doing, crazy, running in front of bullets, stupid stuff. It's knowing you might get killed doing it. You know, you just do it. You know, we're going to do it because, not doing it is, worse. You know, one thing that comes to mind, the big one that really has an impact on me, was Saving Private Ryan. There was a scene where you had the, the journalist that went with him and wanted to take his typewriter and all that kind of stuff. And towards the end of the battle over the bridge, he was so petrified and scared while a German soldier was up there fighting with one of his American comrades. And it's a hellacious hand-to-hand, run out of bullets, fighting each other. And, and he's sitting there, a dozen feet away on the stairwell, kind of, he's so petrified and scared, he can't go as a knife goes into the heart of the other guy, of the American. The German came down and passed him on the stairs, didn't even take him out, didn't kill him, or either one. The German looks at this whimpering, yeah, you're better off alive, man, you go fight for, whatever, and just walk past him. He was no threat, and his comrade died. That scene was so, it's how do you live with yourself? I mean, you do or you don't. A lot of times it just plagues your mind forever, knowing that right by you, somebody slowly, with a knife slowly penetrating their chest and their heart, died. And you had a rifle, you just go up there, boom. Not that that doesn't happen, not that that might be a natural thing for some, it's just that sometimes that's your choice, that's forced on you. You risk your life not just for some, an altruistic feeling of I gotta, sacrifice for somebody else. You're doing it for yourself. So you don't have an entire life of regret. Could that be a motivation for people? That you're so brave. You're so, what choice did I have? I remember a scene from Firefly where they're on a job to steal, it's called the train job. They're Firefly, Serenity, it's a sci-fi, pirate kind of whatever. But they were given a job to go steal these cases off of a troop ship that had a bunch of valuable cargo. Well, they find out later it was a medicine to keep this one mining company, this village, alive. And if they didn't get it, the people start, they suffer a great deal. And they're like, we're giving this back. I didn't know it was, we're giving it back. They go back to give it back. They're just going to leave it in town. The sheriff there catches them as they're bringing it back. And he goes, some men, you had a choice. You chose wisely kind of thing. And Mal, the captain, he goes, I don't believe you did. You do. His mindset, you don't have a choice. That was kind of the character trait that episode was trying to portray. If you know the reaction, you know the circumstance, the result of your decision, and it's going to be a life of regret, of suffering. Are you acting altruistically, or are you acting in your own self-interest? I mean, think about that. He wasn't being noble or whatever. He was acting in his own self-interest because he had empathy, compassion. These are human traits. If you don't have that, you're a sociopath or a psychopath. You're just out, you know, getting a lot of these. The government is strewn with psychopaths, sociopaths at the least. And the difference is, you have no empathy, and the psychopath, you not only do you don't care, you get pleasure in being a butthead. I mean, that's kind of the line until somebody tells me different. But so I'm going, okay. When he says, I don't believe you have a choice. I don't believe you do. You know, a man's got a choice. I don't believe he does. That right there, you don't have a choice but to do the right thing. Why? Because it's not in your self-interest. You will regret it. And that was one of the biggest lessons. I remember I was in high school, and it was like, you want to be a certain way. You find someone that an icon, you know, a religious figure or whatever, that, you know, you think, well, you know, what would Jesus do kind of thing. And you make decisions based on what you think they would do, the traits that you emulate. You know, what would Thomas Jefferson do is kind of what was always in my head, you know, the mythology of whatever he would, you know, whatever. You know, it's freedom. The answer was the question. That's where that comes from. So I'm just going, you know, if I act in that way, I will not die with a regret. Because everybody dies alone. And then, you know, at the end, the last gasp in the breath, and the kind of the last memory, thoughts, and goes. It's great if you can have family around and so on and go peacefully and all that and kind of wink out. But, I mean, in the end, what is it that you think about the most? Your entire life flashes before your eyes. It's summed up in a peaceful passing. Am I at peace? Did I do what I could do? Was I, you know, I mean, nobody's perfect, but, you know, on the whole, I balanced the kind of, you know, it didn't suck. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I left it better than. I added to. I was an add, not a subtraction. If you're filled with regret, I can't think of a worse way to go. I mean, I don't care if you can't breathe and you're this and that. I mean, you're dragging out and the pain of what. If that is accompanied with regret of a life wasted, filled with pain for other people, you better be a sociopath or you're really going to suffer. But humanity is filled with compassion and empathy. And I know people, some people, they so much so that they have to logically and rationally pull themselves out of that, that they're being destructive to their self-interest, that they're living for someone else because somebody else said they had to, or some norm or some peer pressure, or, you know, they socially and economically engineer you through Facebook. And that's what's going on. They're causing you not to act in your own self-interest or that of your family or somebody else or some collective, whatever. They have to make you crazy. There's a scene from Braveheart, you know, it's like talking about, you know, you kill all the people. Yeah, well, some of the, you know, Longshanks sits there and they had the battle and they got the Irish. He had conscripted, you know, mercenaries there fighting with the Scottish and going, you know, loose the arrows. You know, I got it pulled up. Let's see if this will work. I want to show this. I have skills and buttons. Let's do it.
I gave Mornay double his lands in Scotland, matching estates in England. Lachlan turned for much less archers.
I beg pardon, sire. Won't we hit our own troops?
Yes. But we'll hit theirs as well. We have reserves. Attack.
But we'll hit theirs as well. We have reserves. You know, so what? We got, you know, they're just people. We'll hit theirs as well. You see? It's that mindset.
from the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the Crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hanlon.
Get through all the gaga. I still love you. Yeah, I didn't hit the recording for the video in the first segment. That was good too, man. That was a good rant, you know. But the main thing is that what I wanted to express is that you always act in what you perceive to be your self-interest. And the self-interest a lot of times is to not have regret. In the battle of something, you'd run out and jump and going to save your friend and wonder why would you do that? Because you fear them dying or you not doing your job or duty or whatever more than risking your life or even certain death. That's why, you know, moms will jump in front of the train to save child, kind of whatever. How do you live the rest of your life with that instinct to protect, you know, taken away? I mean, you know, or just abused and you feel it constantly. And to get over it, you got to go through PTSD, you know, deprogramming training and erase it from your memory or do something. If I could only forget, well, here's a drug. Here's some alcohol. Here's some something. This is the point that I'm making. We are at a point now to where you hear a lot of these phrases that have been, you know, since all throughout history. You know, Dad, Papa, what did you do during the revolution? What did you do during the whatever? What did you say? What did you, what did you, what did you? Whatever Facebook told me to. Seriously? That was it? That, you know, whatever you were programmed to? Whatever was official? Whatever was allowed? This is, man, these are the concerns that I have. Wow. So, I think that we're coming to that time. You know, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Screw the country. How about your family? How about yourself? When you can show that people acting in their own self-interest are doing the right thing, and you can show it to them, you know, it's not that big a leap. And some things are just from experience. Or from not. I tell you, one of the things... It just we talked about this months ago. It was, you know, one thing. I don't know if it's a rural environment. You know, you get out of the programming of on the street of, you know, policeman on every corner kind of. I don't know what psyop it is, you know, or is it just plain off of the grid's water? A little more rural, and you live on well water. It's kind of, is it the well water that makes you a little bit more freedom, or can be free of mind, freedom oriented? Leave me alone, whatever. Is it the water? Or is it the fact that they're rural? Well, let me tell you. I guarantee, they, them, those know. They know. They're using it against you. They're wanting to, you know, we need to get a little more of this, a little less of that. You want to see the future of a society? I heard it, God, in the 90s from at a meeting one time, a guy who's a tax attorney. And, well, I guess, you know, that makes sense. It was a tax attorney, you know. I guess he probably see this more than most people. He goes, if you want to see the future of a society, you see what is rewarded and what is punished. If you reward sloth and dependency and disability and inactivity, you get more of it. Here's your check. If you get, if you punish productivity, you know, ingenuity, innovativeness, if you punish that, but oh, I'm sorry, you didn't get your, you know, government permission slip, you didn't get your patent, you didn't get your permission, you didn't get, you're making too much money, you know, you're on progressive income tax, you punish productivity, you get less. So he was very pessimistic about the future, because he goes, look, this kind of incentive structure flipped like that, you know, it's not going to end well. It can't. Well, that's where we're at now. So what do you get? You get your gazillions of dollars as long as you don't. You want your stimulus check? Oh, I'm sorry. Libertarian registrations last. Oh, you want to start a, oh, you think I'm kidding? You want to start a 501c3 for liberty? You're not approved. This is where we're at. Courage. Courage, Mom. This is, I'm thinking, this is where Jay Noon, Manchester, making a big, you know, Manchester area, and nowhere, New Hampshire, red pill moms. Who are the red pill moms? And how he described that was someone on the news, she's like, over my freaking dead body, are they going to force my child to take a notion and potion from the crown? I think she was in California or something, or New York. I'm not, no, they're not forcing an injection into my kid. That ain't happening. Got a gun. Whoop, that's what we need. Red pill mom moved to New Hampshire. That's what that, how that started. That's what that was all about. And you know, I talked to her, red pill mom, I go, and I tell them that story. I go, you know, is this the kind of mom you want in your community? You know, she's not going to defend my kid, you know, or maybe they will, or maybe they won't, but she's definitely going to do yours. These were the lines. You had to think about this, you know, during the Iraq War, it's 03, 04, and 03, March, it's been a couple of years since the invasion in Iraq. It took a year and a half or so before the invasion in Iraq. Got to go get them. Why? Because we can. Well, you know, BS you in, yeah, we can. So they go into Iraq. Talking about the draft. Talking about gun confiscation. So what's your line? I mean, it's on when what? Door-to-door gun confiscation, which they're getting close and they sure as hell want to, and in various different ways, and draft. Don't come take your kids. The hell you are. This is, you know, I had teenage sons and daughters at the time, and they're going, man, you want to see Ernie's line? Bring it on, bitch. You want, oh, let's rock and roll. That was teeth grinding stuff. I'm on the air. I'm going, this is it. You want to know my line? Door-to-door gun confiscation, door-to-door kid confiscation. And the door-to-door kid confiscation is coming in. You didn't vaccine right. CDC, you bad mama. You bad daddy. Because you won't take our, because it's a law. So you just put your two forefingers and thumbs together and go, love bus, love illusion. Freedom's answer, what's the question? Freedom's Phoenix, declare your independence. I vent myself in a lot of different ways to not have regret. What is your avenue, your outlet for not regretting you? Sitting on your ass or just being a keyboard warrior in a little, you know, social media, whatever. What are you doing? What are you funding? What are you helping? What are you giving? What are you putting time towards? What are you pulling support from? What are you doing? Doing. I don't want to talk about it. Do. What are you doing?
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Take me home. Bill Collins. Take me home. Where's home? Home is where the what? I don't know, where the heart is, where the family is. That's one thing I remembered. It had a big impact on me. Went and saw Crazy Horse in North Dakota by, or is it South Dakota? Yeah, whatever. It's where Mount Rushmore is. Where's Mount Rushmore? Is that North or South Dakota? Yeah, I think South Dakota. So, it was right in the middle of, you know, they had the Indian Wars with the Sioux and this and that, and sort of Lakota, I think it was. And they took one of the Granite Mountains, and they just put the presidents, the great chief of the East, kind of, they put four presidents in, screw you. Took one of their sacred mountains and just, boom, done. Got a face over, yeah, we rule you now. Yeah? Look at that. Who's ruling you now? And they commissioned the guy that did a bunch of sculpting they had seen in magazines or whatever in New York and to come and start, and his family is multi-generational, has been going on for decades, that they started this entire mountain is being crafted in the Crazy Horse on a horse. And the entire Mount Rushmore is the size of just the head of Crazy Horse Monument. You know, and they just keep blasting away. They keep building. It'll take, they could finish it in probably a decade if they wanted to, but that's part of the process. They got a plan. It's on Native American land there, and it's in the round, all around the mountain. It would be, camping and RVs, and, you know, and it's just part of the building of the process is the process, the attraction. And it's huge. I mean, huge. A mountain being sculpted. A mountain. Okay? So it is just phenomenal, the sentiment behind it. And the pose that he has pointing out over, he's sitting on the horse and he's got his hand extended pointing out, and that arm is extended in the rock. And it says, Donna, see if you can find that picture of Crazy Horse and put it up in the rotation. I want to be able to show that. The question was, where is your land? What's your land? This is our land. How do you guys? He goes, my land or where my people lie buried. And he's pointing, where my people lie buried, my ancestors lie buried. I don't know, how else do you claim land? It's where you bury generations that have been living here. My land is where people lie buried. Where are your people? Where's home? How do you define home? Home is where the heart is, where the bones are. I mean, what is it? It's my family. I'm not locked any one play. I remember when I was running for Congress one time, the questions are always tailored for somebody, for something. And there were people that moved from out of state. When they do the census, Arizona keeps growing, so it added on a couple of more congressmen. You get a couple of more. There'll be probably some more coming on this next election cycle, in 22, I guess. And they do their census. They have, you get another 1, 2, 5 congressmen, whatever. Arizona's growing. And because they're not in competition with an incumbent, all of a sudden here comes, I'm going to get me some congressional seat, in Arizona, hey, here I come. So they come from Washington, D.C., they'll flood in and tell, wear their cowboy hats and say how pioneer they are and all that crap. And the different surveys would have on there, where do you find home? Because a lot of people, they go, back home, and they mean New York. Yeah, well, back home in, they'll let it slip. Well, back home in Philadelphia, and they're running for Congress in Arizona. So they go, where do you find home? And I remember when I saw it, and I get it, and of course, Arizona since I was 12, and Florida before that. But, I'm going, some geographic government line on a what? I mean, it's just a mindset. And I'm going, where my family is. Duh. Why would you? I mean, because they don't think that way. They think flags and teams. You know, they think, sorry, I had it loud. They think, you know, flags and teams. They think, you know, something else. So I'm looking at, I don't know. I'm hoping that people start to have their own, you know, way of looking at their life as what do they at least owe themselves. You know, this is it. Yeah, here Donna is pulling it up. It's further along than that. Where's some of the, they got the horse head. Yeah, this is, do this one. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that's a good one. The picture, what she's putting up is Crazy Horse, the way it's designed, and then where they're at. I think they're further along in what they show in some of these pictures. But this is what they're turning the mountain into, is this depiction of Crazy Horse on the horse pointing out where my people lie buried. And it is, I think, such a sentiment that needs to be replicated. And what do? They buy you off. Now you need more blankets with some smallpox in it. You know, what do you need? So I want to make sure that we understand what it is that we're fighting for. And a lot of times it comes down to peace of mind. It's no more complicated than that. I just want peace of mind. So I'm hoping that, here, let me go ahead and see if I can go, can I scroll through these? Oh, on my slides. And then I go, I thought I could just push the button here. Oh, here it is. No, wait, I'm on the button. I got, well, I thought I did. Yeah, but I thought I could do it from my keyboard. Yeah, whatever. It'll come up. But the yeah, we're still learning all the keyboards and stuff for this new system. But I wanted to make sure that you get in your mindset. Yeah, just pull that one up and hold it for a minute so they can see what, you know. Just pull the graphic up. Yeah, just put that up. Boom, done. Put that computer. Can that go on the stream? Is that streaming? Okay, well, then it doesn't matter. All right. Well, we'll worry about it later. Do Crazy Horse images. And, yeah, because you, if you put it up on the Skype computer, then you could put that over and that would do it. Boom. And the next hour, we have Dr. Frank on. You know, he's gonna Zoom this time. I guarantee he's late. he just can't not. I mean, it's just amazing. But the I'm hoping that as we get in these times, this is historical stuff. And I'm old enough, 59. Damn, that just seems like 59. I don't feel old, but I mean, you know, you look at me, it's like, you know, you're not a kid anymore. But the we have enough energy that Donna and I are going to be able to do this stuff. You know, we can go out. You know, we can get some. So it's I'm looking forward to being able to. Yeah, that one right there in the center, right in the center. That one, boom, did it. All right, and then I go Skype. There you go. So that is the graphic. That's what they're building out of that mountain. They already got the face of it, you know, done. What are you doing? They already got the face of it done, and they're doing it with blasting and carving, and it's at stop. So this is the whole mountain that they're going to create into this sculpture, and they're doing it behind them. And there was a bunch of rock they had to get rid of. I mean, it was a thing. So it's, and the whole campground, everything built around that, and the history of this. What mindset do we got to have? What is it that you got to do? How can you not be filled with regret at a time when you need you? Oh, and your family might too. We'll be right back.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trend and the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Oh, little Boston, yay, I can get it. Yeah, I'll make it happen. One thing that, things are starting to open up, and it's not that open, screw the government. They're going to go as long as they're just looking for a parade to jump in front of. They have a parade of whatever incentive and who paid off what, and you get your debt and covered and pensions of you're going to need some money, something. They always act in whatever they perceive to be the self-interest of, and the people, they don't care. It's the municipal employees and their pensions and so on. This is what they care about. This is what, what got them, brought to the dance, what's getting them elected. It's keeping them employed or got their position, something. So you're going to see a big, giant, oh, my God, payoff for these municipal pensions and everything. That's going to be the thing. That's good. A lot of research is going to go into who got paid off for what. Well, the people finally are just, screw you. What's your purpose here? You're supposed to protect. You're a bunch of liars, and they're just. I don't like. I think it was Derek Slopey was the first one that really, just immediately embraced the idea of why are you protesting the government? Why are you going? Oh, please, sir, may I have another? Please, can I use my permit? Please, can I open? Please, can I? Please, can I? You just do. Well, that's what's getting down to. People are just doing. They go, yeah, whatever. Arrest me. My choice is what? Bankruptcy? I'll be one of the few that opens. And then you got these other groups that, Walmart gets to open. What up with that? How come Walmart gets to, and the supermarket here, and the AutoZone, and Harbor Freight, but the mom pop, not allowed? I got to go buy my pillows and beds at Walmart. I got to order on Amazon. This is not going unnoticed. I think people, they wanted to see what the tolerance level was. Give them a couple weeks. A couple will take a vacation. Now it's turning into, welfare. You'll be all right. Take another month off. We got a stimulus coming for you. Some of you. If you registered right. this is... They really tried it. They tried to central plan a coup. Central planning doesn't work for just about anything. And they're trying to central plan a government or a mind control or a takeover. Any kind of central planning doesn't work. This is a central plan. What happens when you have decentralization down to individuals just saying, screw you? You get little videos like some guy, I'm impotent and impotent and respect my authority. And he goes out, some guys on the shore of a lake, of a beach or whatever, on dock, and one guy just pushes him in the water. Boom. Yeah, that shut you up. Comes out a blazing. You want to shoot him? What happens to that guy? I don't know. I'm more for just turning your back on him, disaffiliation of you guys don't matter anymore. I don't care. Well, we're going to, bring it on. Drag me through. Because I want to see the lawsuits. I want to hear about the resistance. I want to know the people that just opened. They say, well, you can't, your lawful order of a lawful law. It wasn't lawful. This is where the hologram comes from. They create all these holograms in front of you. This had a big impact on Derek, you know, by Boston Tea. Boston Tea Party gave a presentation at Pork Fest, and he talked about the hologram of government. You know, they just project this hologram. You just walk through it. Hell, you can't even see it from the other side. You go through, you go, that wasn't really there. That's not, you know, I could do what I wanted. That was just crap. Yep. It's a facade. It's a fake. Quit falling for it. Well, Dr. Paul has a little something to say about it. I wanted to, you know, just play a little bit, get some ode to him, because I know he's been one of the few guys going, oh, hell no. Let's just see what he has to say, update today.
I am doing fine, ready and raring to go. Right. And I think we can still say there's a breaking out of good news. At least it's dribbling out right now. And yet it seems like, and this should be expected, the more good news that comes out for our side, that people are waking up and saying, hey, what's the government doing to us? Whether it's the federal government, whether it's the United Nations, or whether it's their mayor.
Yeah.
People are waking up, and I think this is great. And yet the officials are going to buckle down. You know, they double down on this, and they become more authoritarian. You know, there was one report that this was a good report, even though it was a bad report. That I think there were names put on Facebook or someplace. Where there were 900 individuals who had been the snitchers.
Yeah.
And you know, their names got on there, which they deserved.
Yeah.
But the snitchers were pretty unhappy, and the people who had got hold of them weren't happy with them either.
Yeah, yeah,
so there's a limit to how far they go. I don't know why people get a big thrill out of snitching, but they do. They feel important or something, even though it's for, you know, so obviously ridiculous reason. You know, one other ones, they sent 1,000 cops out. The mayor's 1,000 cops out in New York City. Did you know that they were barbecuing
and
they didn't have a government permit? They didn't have their, you know, a badge that says that they've had the immunity and that they were safe, but they came out and it's to me, and I mentioned that the other day, it's almost like they hate people who look like they're having fun in spite of what we're doing to them. They still want to have fun, you know, which is pretty bad. But no, there are a lot of good stories out there of people resisting, but there's a lot of bad stories out there that the government just gets more ornery and more authoritarian. And of course, the big challenge is going to be, is how do we get out of this? Because it isn't just the issue, should governments be authoritarian and doing things they shouldn't be doing, but how are we going to convince the people exactly why this country is broke and how we work our way out of it? But in some ways that might work to our benefit, because maybe it'll get to the point where more and more people will realize, I can't even depend on my government to take care of me from cradle to grave. So I might have to do something else. I might have to learn how to go hunting and find, put some food on the table. So that that I think is a good event, because it has to occur that the people lose their confidence in the government being the caretaker and taking care of everybody, because they can't do it. That's what gave us this. And right now, I think we're seeing the reversal, because on the surface, for the practicality of it, what they've been doing is wrong, and they're now speaking out. Why can't I do this? Why can't I get my hair cut? And why does a big company with 150 people, 200 people, and it seems like they're back at work, and somebody else that has a shop with 3 people in, they can't do it. They see such the unfairness of it all, and you don't know. Is it political? Could be. Is it just mismanagement? Yeah, most likely. But it's never fair when they close something down artificially, and it's never fair when they pretend that they're going to open up the door again. I don't know why they don't have a little more confidence in liberty and let the people decide, because I think not only does that protect the principles of liberty, it also is more efficient. But so far, I think we're sort of making a turning point, moving in a different direction, but we have a ways to go.
We do. And
yeah, a little ways to go. I am I am encouraged. Donna, turn on that light there, please. I'm encouraged by people coming out and just there's voice to people. Turn it up. There's voice. Turn it up. There's voice to people saying that there is a not a need for permission asking all the time. That is what's coming at it. You're going to have a separation. There's going to be a lot of people. Yeah, you're not a complier. Yeah, you know, that guy's not complying enough. Where's my high credit score, social credit score? I want mine. I want to get mine. You know, you put me on the list of I comply. You want to see there's a before and after? Even in the Liberty community, there's a line. Wow, I didn't want any government. I need to be told what to do when I'm scared. You know, kind of, wow. Coming out of this is going to be the real, the big boys of freedom. The big boys and girls of freedom. The men, the woo men. You know, keep track, because it'll change. There'll be politicians, different people. They'll come out and they'll go, oh, I was always, oh, yeah, I always, I was always, I was always. You know, who were the ones that understood from the beginning what was going on? Who are you going to trust? The future is all about credibility in journalism. It's going to be credibility. Watch.